teacher wants to see some response of the student, and the teacher is merely a representative of Krishna. Krishna can't speak to you, but Guru can. That's why we need Guru. Krishna's in the heart. The holy name doesn't require initiation. But unless you hear the holy name from Guru, you can't get prema or realization. Krishna's in the heart. The holy name doesn't require initiation. But without Guru, you can't attain Krishna prema or realization. And Guru speaks to you, not the super soul. When you come to the level of bhava, asakti, and bhava, then the super soul speaks. Until that, the super soul speaks for the Guru. The Guru is Chaitanya. The Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, they're representing the super soul. In the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says when a disciple comes to the, sits with the spiritual master, he should think that he's sitting face to face with the super soul. Sakshat darshan of the super soul. Super soul, that's not so much important to look at it as, you know, I'm not manifesting four arms. But it's the super soul speaking to you and teaching you. Sakshat paramatma shiksha. Paramatma sakshat shiksha. Directly speaking. And Guru is representing the super soul. When the Guru is giving instructions, then he hopes that he gives instructions, then the testing, where is the testing room? Like sometimes they have testing rooms, you have to come to the testing room, there's a testing center. The testing room is your day-to-day life. Isn't it? The testing room is your day-to-day life. In the house, in the school, in the mall, in the car, in the plane, in the train, wherever you are, in the public, in the private, with the friends, in the society, with the relatives. That's the testing room. And sincerity is something that's shown not in... You don't show your sincerity in front of the Guru. You show your sincerity when the Guru is not there. Very nice statement. Disciple doesn't show his sincerity in front of the Guru. He shows his sincerity when the Guru is not there, physically present. That's when the real test is going on. So sometimes disciples of a Guru, they wonder why they're not advancing. And they question, is it my Guru? He's not realized, or he's not connected, or he's not connected with the flow of mercy, so it's not falling on me. The general answer to that question, why we're not advancing, is we're continually failing the tests as we move through the world. We're saying, Jai Guru, Jai Guru, Jai Guru. Jai Guru Day. We send an SMS message, Jai Guru Day. We write an email, Jai Guru Day. Srila Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri, dear Guru Dev, please accept my humble obeisances. But then when the Guru is not there, your business is normal. A normal prajapa, a normal gramikata, a normal baseline flirting or partial flirting with men and women, or chit-chatting, laughing, giggling, enjoying each other's association. Spiritual life is very... Have you ever heard the expression, a razor's edge? Spiritual life can make you or break you. If you follow it, you get liberation. If you deviate, you take another birth. Guru, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, our Param Guru, he said that to liberate, he said I'm spending gallons and gallons of my blood on to liberate one conditioned soul from the bondage of Maya. Guru has to spend gallons and gallons of blood, liters and liters of blood. So if you want, someone says, oh, Gurudev, we want to please you. Well, follow my teachings. Isn't that the pleasure of any guru anywhere? Wouldn't any guru at any time be happy and pleased if the disciple follows his teachings? If I'm a music teacher and I'm giving you music classes and I see that you're learning and you're playing the ragas very nicely, then I'll be so happy. as your teacher. So when a teacher sees his students applying the knowledge and living the teachings, he says, oh, very nice. Success guaranteed. Krishna prapti. Prem prapti. Anartha nivritti. Nishta. Aruchi. Asakti bhav and prem. Step by step. Forward progress. Elimination and acceptance. Progress means elimination and acceptance. We keep dragging our old self, our old sanskaras, and our old behavior patterns with us, month after month, year after year. Then there's no progress. There's no elimination. I'm the same Kishori. I'm the same person I was 20 years ago. The same hang-ups, the same phobias, the same attachments, the same maya. The only thing different about me is I have a spiritual name. Kishori Priya Devi Dasi. Am I really a changed person? Have I become a transcendentalist? Have I become someone that lives for God and breathes for God and thinks for God and speaks for God and acts for God? Okay, I may have some karmic duties that I'm wrapped up in. I'm a wife. I'm a husband. I have to work. I have to housewife. I can't avoid that. But then outside of that circle, outside of that, what they call family circle, they even have a magazine in America called Family Circle. It's for families, mostly housewives. But when I leave that karmic circle, that's my own destiny. My family circle is my karma chakra, which I'm stuck in because of my own prarabdha karmas. I have this husband and these children, this house and these maids. But when I leave that circle and go into the social circle or the extended family and relative circle, then how do I behave and how do I act then? Do I act as a transcendentalist? Or as a devotee of God or a Vaishnavi or a Vaishnava? Or do I act as a typical woman or typical man of the modern world? That everyone has to answer themselves. Most Western devotees, Western Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, is that when they take a Krishna consciousness, at least they know what it means. And it's a full program. They become a transcendental person. They live for Krishna. Their family, their relatives, and if they're married, they adjust everything in such an amazing way that they just, you know, leave, you know, almost like your husband's doing. It's almost like he's leaving that whole melu. He's like dragging you and forcing you to go back to Godhead. Because you have 2 feet in Bombay and your eyes in Vrindavan. You know, it was like a new identity. It was like a whole new persona. Now I'm Krishna Das. I think differently, I speak differently, I act differently, I move differently. And I'm 24 hours a day, I'm a devotee. I go out in the market, I have tilak and shika and dhoti. The only time I wore a karmic clothes since 1975 is when I had to distribute books in the airport, and that's what they told us to do, the authority. On my own choice, I never wore. I never flew in karmic clothes anywhere. Since 1975, I've been wearing a dhoti and a kurta. Tell about the immersion of Western devotees with their identity as Krishna Das. And it's not only physical expression with tilak and dhoti, but it's their whole mindset. And their heart set, and they're dead set on attaining perfection as much as they can. And they have a hard life to live, because although they're so convinced about Krishna and they fully want to live the life, they have this heavy wheelbarrow full of, you know, lust and greed and anger. Which, like Prabhupada, once he recognized that, he said, "What makes an ideal preacher? An ideal preacher should have the courage of a British general." In the heart of a Bengali grandmother. So this is an East-West combination. You see the parallel. It's an analogy, but we're talking about something about East and West. I'm talking about Indian Vaishnavas and Western Vaishnavas. This is on the topic. So everything I'm saying has a logical progression, even the analogies. The Prabhupada is saying that the preacher, whoever he may be, Western or Eastern, but he should have the heart of a Bengali grandmother, which means that softness, that gentleness, that friendliness, that compassion. But then you should have the courage and the determination, the conviction of a British general, British officer. Apparently, from Prabhupada's worldview, they were noted for those qualities. Can't say I'm not a British officer from Britain. But I can appreciate that this is what it takes to make a preacher. A preacher has to be bold. Preacher means a Vaishnava. If you're a Vaishnava, all the fish are going downstream and you want to go upstream. Every fish is bumping into you and say, where the hell are you going? You're going the wrong way. As soon as you become a Vaishnavi, you're a Vaishnava, you're going the wrong way. It's told right in the Shastras, in the age of Kali Yuga, 75% of the people are atheist. That means right now, today, 2010, Bombay, 75% of the people in Bombay, Russia, America, they're atheists. 25% have some idea about God, and most of them are agnostic. And maybe he's there, maybe not, I don't know. At least they're not outright atheists. So you're you become a devotee of the Lord, which means a pure Vaishnava, pure devotee, pure theist. You're in a strict minority to begin with, super strict. So the majority of the people are outright atheists. So you have 50 relatives or 100 relatives, that means 75 of them are atheists. American or Russian, they're outright atheists, 75%. It can't but be. This is the fact. And it increases more and more until the end of Kali Yuga, it's 99% atheists. And there's only a few devotees left. And they're the ones that usher in the next Satyuga. They generate the next Kalki kills, all the non-devotees. And the few that are left, they generate the next population for the introduction of Satyuga. Because there's an age of devotees. And you get the reward. When you control your mind and modulate your behavior according to the spiritual dictums and teachings, you get rewarded by the Lord. It gives you a very beautiful consciousness, very clear consciousness, detachment, non-interest. Because when we involve ourselves in the material world with material people and relationships and interactions and speaking, it means we have desire. We're still interested on one level or another. It's desire that creates our behavior. When our desire is pure, then our behavior is pure, isn't it? When our desire is pure, our behavior is pure. Our desire is purely to serve Krishna. Is that the definition of Shuddha Bhakti? Everyone can take out a piece of paper and write that. Okay, what is the definition of Pure Bhakti? Anya vilasita shunyam jnana karma dinavrita manukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. Okay, this is uttam bhakti. This is pure bhakti. Anukulyena, Krishna anukulya. This is favoring Krishna and giving pleasure to Krishna. My giggling and laughing with this woman on the train or on the plane for this man. This is giving pleasure to Krishna. This is anukulya. Or is it anukulya for me? It's anukulya for me, which means I'm desiring to enjoy. So when our desire, a pure devotee means, uttam bhakta means he only desires to act favorably and give pleasure and favor and happiness to Krishna. With his thoughts, his words, and his deeds. Yeah, well, that means you better lift some more weights and build up your muscles so you win more bouts than you lose. You have to review your training. See, you went into the boxing ring and there's films of it. They take films of the fight. And then they show the trainer shows you those films later. And he said, see, in the third round, you got tired. And you let your guard down. Your right hand came down. And that's when he bopped you on the nose. I kept my guard up the whole time. It's called keeping your guard up. You're guarding your face. But you get a little tired, and your hand goes down, and tong, you know, boxing. You ever did boxing? So it's like this. So this is an analogy. So then the trainer shows you the film, and you say, oh, you're right. I thought I had my guard up. It's clear. My guard is down on my belly, and I just got tired, and he just whopped. You know, I left an opening there, and I couldn't block. So the same thing. Oh yeah, I got weak. I wasn't chanting nice rounds. I got weak. I let my guard down. I haven't been hearing shastra, hearing tapes. I've been associating with materialistic people so much lately. And my sadhana's become weak. So then when I get in the field, the testing field, then I can't pass the test. Because I don't have the spiritual strength to have that determination to follow, to act according to the spiritual desire to fulfill Krishna. I just slip into my prarabdha, which means my conditioning, which means my material desires, and acting according to my usual ways, which is materialistic. Pleasing me or pleasing the other person. How are you? Fine. What do you do? I do this. And all this kind of maya and social conversations with strangers or anybody. It's just maya. I mean, there's only two choices in this world, Krishna or maya, isn't there? Isn't there? In any given situation, there's Krishna or maya. Yeah, anartha nivritti is difficult. Get the nishta, then it's not so difficult. Material energy kind of slides back a little bit. Recedes, let's say that's a nice word. The material maya recedes a little bit when one becomes nishta. He passed the test, the acid test. Because you also, what happens is when your consciousness becomes spiritualized and you become actually elevated in consciousness, you emanate a particular aura. You don't emanate an enjoying aura. You actually emanate a spiritual aura. Energy field. You emanate a spiritual energy field, or you emanate a spiritual aura, and people, they feel like, oh wait a minute, there's like an electric, there's a landmine there. They see some serious sadvi, but when one is still has carrying so many layers of their own prarabdha, so many, let's say, layers of their own prarabdha are surrounding them, so many desires to enjoy, known and unknown. So many desires to enjoy, and so much prarabdha within us to enjoy, then that kind of, those particles of desire, particles of material desire, they kind of collect around us. They kind of collect like dust particles floating in sunbeams. They collect those dust particles of our desires, known or unknown, of our prarabdha to enjoy, men or women or the material energy. They kind of collect around us like a fog. You know, fog? Kuhara, and then they sparkle. They kind of sparkle, and they create what they call, they sparkle, and they create an enjoying aura around us. So like you look at some woman who's what they call a very, the term is, let's say she's a very lusty woman. I mean, she's emanating a lot of these sparkles of enjoying the spirit. And then the man perceives that. So he wants to take part in that. That's, you know, our kind of our energy field. So then men will be attracted to that. And men are the same way. If they have that, you know, that kind of that enjoying spirit, then women will be attracted to that. But once mind and heart are in line with God, then you automatically emanate such an aura, be you a man or a woman. But if that's not happening with you, if like you're have so many men coming to you or so many women coming to you, that means that you have a long way to go to attain that kind of spiritual purity and that spiritual aura. It's a fact. You'll see. You can see in your own experience. Effulgent men, effulgent women. No, spiritually effulgent men, spiritually effulgent women. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.